A week solidarity bricky team Lister win as we celebrate the first anniversary of the former government signing us onto the Hawk US nuclear sub train killing deal. It's time to reflect how important that change should not change. A week when the Her Most Gracious Majesty of True Blue Aussie became the His Most Gracious Majesty of True Blue Aussie. Minor semantic change, but thankfully, True Blue Aussie remains led by a European inbred family, our mother country, while Hawk Us, Hawk US ties True Blue Aussie to our father country, our real leader. As another change to a new His Most Gracious Majesty's government also leads to no change at all. The new His Most Gracious Majesty's loyal government is just as dedicated to train killing and the merchandise of the US of Merchants of Death as the caring business class and hayseed and cheap shit coalition lot, on which we also still support extracting and burning and exporting coal and gas, albeit with a small change. The new lot, the socialists, argue that extracting and burning and exporting fossils will help us address the problem of fossils. And yet, within these comforting transitions, there are some radical iconoclasts who would have us make untrue blue Aussie changes, like they express disappointment that the new government and its Minister for Train Killing and Being Offensive, Richard Malls, the bad guys, brackets, as determined by the US of, would take a different approach from the previous lot and its Minister, Constable Peter Duffer. They even, and how's this for reckless disregard for our security, even want True Blue Aussie to tear up the Hawk Us deal and not spend a few sensible trillions on nuclear subs. Their perfidy, their naivete, expressed this week by no less a sage than the head of the US, of the UN, of the US, of the World Studies Centre, and head of the University of Sydney's US of Foreign Policy Studies Centre, Michael Green, a former foreign policy advisor to former US of Big Supremo, George W. Bash the Workers. And we all admire his spectacular success in foreign policy. Mission accomplished. Perhaps George W. read Michael's wise advice upside down. Interesting, Michael Green, for we recall Marshall Green, US of ambassador leading up to the dismissal of the Whitlam government, who then left True Blue Aussie shortly after that mission had been accomplished. Marshall Green, who happened to be in several countries when governments the US of didn't like were overthrown and replaced by governments the US of did like a real coincidence. Anyway, Michael Green, the US of, he told us, will become more dependent on True Blue Aussie for its train killing operations and intelligence, showing that train killing is intelligent. And we must deepen our engagement with Taiwan to keep the evil Chinese at bay. Oh, and Michael has a close relationship with key Canberra policymakers like Andrew Shearer, head of the Office of National Intelligence and the principal intellectual proponent of Hawk Us. See? More comforting continuity of trained killer policy, although not sure the words Hawk Us and intellectual go together. With all that, why would anyone want to change things, listener? Thank goodness, despite threats from a lawless socialist government bent on allowing crime to run riot, the True Blue Aussie smashed the evil union's jackboots con mission, rampages on in its relentless commitment to truth, justice and the True Blue Aussie way, exposing crime where some naively think no crime exists, knowing the words trade unions and crime are synonymous. This week, dragging the recidivist evil CFMEU and five officials before the beak for the heinous crime of calling a scab a scab. Sorry, I'm committing a crime myself here. Calling good, good workers who just want to do a fair day's work for an unfair day's pay scabs. Can we think of anything more criminal? and for that other gross illegality, a picket line at a builder who simply exercised its legal right to refuse to negotiate with the union. And not only calling the good, good workers scabs, but using that word, the F word, showing what uncouth, lower-than-low types belong to evil unions. Knowing we would never hear that sort of language from respectable, responsible, great figures in the corporate boardrooms or in the boss's office on building sites. The union and officials face thousands and thousands in fines, but surely that's not enough. But at least we can be thankful we've still got the Smash the Evil Union's Jackboots Commission looking after us. But then Thursday, tragedy. A long-running case against the evil union about right of entry and that sort of thing was thrown out when the evil union produced footage showing the caring builder's lackey, the chief prosecution witness, had lied. Oh dear, doesn't it show how evil the union is, as the Smash the Union's Jackboot Commission explained? The problem was, the union had not shown it the evidence. The depths of their criminality, for surely the commission whose role is to smash the union should expect the union to do its job for it. Yet another inquiry, yet another expose of gross criminality and corporate malfeasance. This time, the Star Chamber Casino in Sydney, joining the banks, the financial institutions, the Crook Casino, in a litany of reports, like the Crook Casino, the latest Star Chamber report, finding it not fit to hold its private mint license. As therefore the banks and the financial institutions and the casinos continue their business. And seeing we're talking of gambling, you can get 100-1 and blowing in the market. They're finding that, like the Crook Lot, Star Chamber is unfit to hold a license, will mean it will not continue to hold a license. Thus, we note all these commissions and inquiries have exposed grave criminality by executives of these corporations. So obviously, there must have been some pretty severe penalties to the corporate crooks dragged before the courts. Don't tell me not one corporate crook has faced the music or is ever likely to face the music. Showing, and there's a most reasonable explanation, respectable business corporate crooks are not evil, evil union officials or evil workers calling scabs, scabs. Oh, sorry, I've done it again. Workers who want to do a fair day's work for an unfair day's pay, scabs. After all, the great corporate crook corporations point out the rampant crime does not reflect their company values and will not reflect their company values until the furor settles down and they can get back to business as usual. Upset that it mightn't be business as usual, the good unions, the caring business class unions, were critical of one of their number, the Council of Small Business Profits Association, saying it might go along with multi-caring employer wage deals, but the association has attempted to clear up the concern by announcing unions should have nothing to do with any deals between employers and staff. Meaning staff will have to contact other caring employers' staff at random, asking, do you want to do a deal with our caring employers, which should work a treat? But even better news for caring employers, a report this week from two Reserve Capitalist Bank economists, whose governor, we recall, told workers last week they must take a wage cut because the alternative would be much worse. Presumably, caring employers would have to take a profits cut. Heaven forbid. Two economists reported a wage price spiral as in the 70s, when incidentally wages kept up with or even ahead of inflation, which was why the Whitlam government brought in quarterly wage indexation to rein in wages. Anyway, it's unlikely to happen. Phew. The caring employers are breathing a sigh of, because of, quote, a weakening of workers' bargaining power against businesses and fewer automatic inflation-linked pay rises. Yippee, great news, unless, of course, you're a worker. Yes, most workers were unionised back then and they were out of control, but any wonder caring employers want good outcomes for their lazy, avaricious workforces without evil union interference. involvement, knowing the best result can be achieved by one-on-one equal negotiations between themselves and the weakened worker bargaining power, showing caring employers only want the best for their workers. And evil unions are aged on destroying that one-on-one, we're all equal, one big happy family equation. Like the big happy You're a Pratt family at the top of True Blue Aussie's Filthiest Rich of the Filthy Rich list, thanks to its busy and lots of other investments. Busy for visionary, seeing trillions in workers' super, lovely, lovely money, and determined to get his filthiest rich hands on it. He being Anthony You're a Pratt. We all recall his father, Big Dick, who died before a corporate crook charge could be heard thanks to a very expensive lawyer. Anyway, Visi's paper recycling plant in Reservoir is making life unbearable for its neighbours thanks to constant stinking odours emerging from its stacks, causing lots of illness, and locals say even when they have their windows shut, the stink still oozes in. Visi last year fined a crippling $9,000 for failing to remedy the problem. Crippling because the family wealth is estimated at a meagre $24.3 billion, real figure. But the Environmental Pollution Authority, Protection Authority, with its renowned concern for the environment and innocent communities affected by pollution, announced Visi now says it will fix the hood exhausts and four roof stacks by mid-2023. Talk about harsh. Suppose there was no thought the plant would be closed until it was fixed, and, well, with only $24.3 billion in their pockets, the Yura Pratt family couldn't possibly afford to fix it any sooner. The local community simply has to hold its breath. We asked Anthony how he came to work his way to the top of True Blue Aussie's Filthiest Rich of the Filthy Rich. Obvious talent. Mainly, he mused, because Big Dick and Mum had sex one night. Positive progressive move from an unlikely source, the His Most Gracious Majesty Melbourne Show, which is banned this year because of disease threats like foot in mouth. Something they often get in the witness box as they're stitching up some poor character, meaning show patrons silly enough to waste their money will at least be spared tasers and capsicum spray and guns and sharp boots. Oh, and just in case you haven't heard, although our opening would have helped you realise, just in case, because there's been so little coverage, Her Most Gracious Majesty died. Actually, one report said train killers were guarding the coffin 24 hours a day, and I thought, who'd want to steal it? But the obsequious acolytes do praise her by saying she never had a thought in her life or something to that effect. And my word, she certainly specialised in that. Caring business class party supremo and would-be big supremo, Constable Peter Duffer, has already insisted that her replacement, King Big Ears, must also have no thoughts whatever if he is to be a good king. A leadership skill the Duffers mastered with honours. Finally, incredibly, as the Lord Rupert of Wapping said as an example, has destroyed about two large forests in its wall-to-wall coverage, including day after day of a 16-page lift-out over and above all the rest, over the demise of a nonagenarian British great-grandmother, it managed but 16 paragraphs on P15 for the death of a great True Blue Aussie, Uncle Jack Charles, who will be sadly missed. A bloke who always treated you like a long lost, who survived so much and who was both a wonderful Indigenous campaigner and a wonderful True Blue Aussie human being. Good morning.